Welcome to episode 213 of Polycast, where we are celebrating the release of Civilization Beyond Earth.
Am I actually audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Sweet.
No, you're not. Who are you people and why are you in my head?
These aren't the normal voices.
Normal voices?
No, in the head.
In your head. In your head.
You know, Matt, you're just asking for that to be the bumper to the episode, right? The last time we were talking about a Civilization title release, excluding expansion packs, was in 2010, and, you know, probably before some of our listeners were born.
Oh, come
on. No, it's probably a bit extreme yet. You know, we like to get them started young on Polycast, because that ensures that they will continue to listen to the show. Mackie, behave. That they will continue to listen to the show well into their... I don't want to speculate on how long they're going to live. That sounds kind of odd. Into their later years... Later years, yeah, that's...
Dan's going off on so far a tangent that he's teleported himself.
It is a skill, Mac. You would know. Along for the ride in the teleport is Makalua.
Who will be getting coffee shortly.
The main team.
I think I need the clone soldiers.
And Majin.
Can I go back to sleep now?
You know not to ask for permission, but for forgiveness. Come on now.
Great. See you later.
Well, there's also the thing where, you need to go back to sleep during the game, like just after we declare war, and you just need to take a nice nap.
Yeah, you can take a nap then.
Played like one game, which I streamed, where I made an ass of myself because I don't know how to play that well.
That's the theme of today. What the hell are we doing? We don't know.
We're recording this. It is the day after the worldwide release of Civilization Beyond Earth. Now, if you're still not certain, if you didn't pre-order it, if you haven't ordered it yet, and you're still wondering, is this really worth my time? How much should I listen to not only haters, but fanboys online in terms of how bad or good Beyond Earth is? There is a way that you can get a sense of the game for yourself. This try before you buy thing is possible, Mad.
What? I thought I was sleeping. I thought we agreed on that.
No, we did not agree on that. You made some kind of proclamation like we were supposed to pay attention, but it's denied.
It can be work. I feel sad. Mm-hmm. Now that Beyond Earth is out, there is a Turnlock demo available to play.
When looking for information on the demo, there was an article that said that it was actually a good thing that there's a demo of the game, because they're making the claim that demos are few and far between for games now. And I'm thinking, well, I guess maybe that depends on the type of games that you're interested in.
Yeah.
I know there were some people saying, can there be a demo before the game is actually released? And as was established with Civilization V, no.
Well, no. I mean, they can. They just don't necessarily want to.
Exactly. Not all people who are interested in playing Beyond Earth can actually play it if they're running certain platforms, except we now have a general time frame for when you're going to be able to do that. Phil?
Holiday season? We can have our cross-platform goodness around the holiday season. Yes, nice and specific.
So yeah, Spire Media, they're doing the Mac and the Linux port, and they will be available on both Steam and the Mac App Store. The Steam version will support Steam Play, meaning that if you've bought the Windows version of the game, you'll have access to the other two versions as well, and vice versa. I'm just reading from Kamikaze's news post here on Civilization Fanatic Center.
Yes.
There is a press release from Aspire, and there's also a frequently asked questions document. And Kamikaze describes this as, note the reasonably erroneous system requirements. Which I thought was...
Oh, now I've got to see.
last but not least in our little bits to start, reviews. We knew that there were going to be reviews from critics before the game was actually released because they've had a chance to play it and they were just waiting for the embargo to publish them to actually be released. And the reviews are generally positive. You're looking at about an 82% score based on 30 or 40 reviews, where the it's as low as 60, I've seen, for example, from The Escapist, and as high as 91% from IGN Italia. And then if you go over to Steam and the customer reviews, you're looking at about 75% positive. And what is really nice about the reviews on Steam, as compared to even the critic or fan reviews that you can see on Metacritic or Game Rankings, is it will tell you the number of hours on record. Now, you might be saying, but Dan, if you're like Mackie or Majin who start the game and then go do other things, is that not accumulating the hours on record that they're playing when they're not really playing it? Okay, but still, there's also the fact that you can read what it is that they have written, and I think you can get a general sense of just how serious they were in writing their review, what criterion they were coming to in their decision. And then there's also the ability on Steam for people to indicate whether or not they found their review helpful. Now, it's true that helpful might mean this helped me decide whether or not to buy the game, or this review was helpful for me to determine that I shouldn't listen to anything and everything you say. Fair enough. Those reviews combined with the demo, combined with talking to people that you know in your gaming circles, whether it's online or in person or both. And if you have gaming circles in person, I hate you, but get a chance to decide for yourself whether or not this is something you want to play. We have on this episode some rotating guests, and that might mean that they are spinning in their chairs or otherwise. I could mean that literally. But what I mean by that is we are going to have some past guests on Polycast come and talk to us about their experiences with Beyond Earth so far, what they think about the coverage of the game before it was released and now that it has been released, from critics and fans alike, who might even get into some of the backstory or even some lessons that Beyond Earth can teach us about what we do in this thing called real life and the future of humanity. Wow, that might be really, really, really deep. But before I do that, fellow regular co-hosts, going to give them an opportunity to introduce for themselves any opening comments that they may have with regards to Beyond Earth, the Ustream chat comments. T-Price1 says, is the demo like your neighborhood crack dealer? Here, kid, the first 100 turns are free.
Yes.
Maybe. Civ Colonel Mustard, past guest on Polycast, says a demo is like those little free samples at the grocery store. They're a little bit like that, although those little samples, I don't think it's particularly of concern for the demo if you play a little bit and then come back and then try to modify your voice or modify your clothing or, you know, the accessories on your face and say, can I have another one? I'm actually my twin brother. Whereas in the grocery store, they might get a little peeved. But my favorite comment so far in the chat has been from the Star of Hope, which is there are people so devoted to Civ, they're listening to Polycast who are still not sure if they want Beyond Earth. And I would say, yes, that people are not certain if this is Civ as they are interested in, seeing as how this is civilization in space. And trying to get a sense of whether or not they want to play it, even if they played Civilization V, because we know this is based on the Civ V engine. Is it different enough that's of interest to me, but not so different that they're not interested in it? Mackie, I know, Mackie, you have been playing Beyond Earth, or at least have had Beyond Earth loaded. Actually, I know more than that because I can see your achievements. I see everything.
She achieved something in space?
Yeah, you were in the TeamSpeak, it was technically Friday morning, but anyway, where I was like, I'm on another boat! It's one of the achievement names. I was like, yes, thank you. If you go through the list of the achievement names, there are so many good ones. Thought put into some of these names. Oh yeah, I got Game Over Man earlier.
Whoever actually wrote out the achievements for this one actually had a bit more fun than maybe some of the previous ones.
Opening comments over to Phil, and then we're going to invite our first guest onto the show because, you know, Imagine's had his fill of say for the game already. That's enough, man.
No. I am the chief extraterrestrial officer.
Quiet you. Impressions with the game. It's going to be interesting on the larger maps, I think, just due to the current limited number of nations. And I still don't know what the heck I'm doing, so I can't really comment on balance. I have read through the forums a bit, so I'm starting to learn some of the power gamer tactics that often get associated with my gameplay anyway. You know, rushing out the current equivalent of Planet Busters, or getting free technologies for 40% of your beakers or some such. You know, that kind of stuff. But it's too early for me to really say. Plays all right so far, though. I've been having fun with it.
I have actually been the past couple of days... Well, some of it I played sitting at the big computer, but I've actually been using the Steam streaming to run it on the big computer and yet play it from the laptop. It's actually running pretty well. I don't think I'd want to try to up my graphics on the main computer and let it... Because when I tried turning it up, it had slow capture problems. It was like,
Yeah, I was playing it on Ultra, and I had animations on at first just because I wanted to show them, you know? And plus, I wanted to see what they looked like myself. But I don't like running strategy games with animations. It really makes a speed difference. Oh, my gosh. Animating versus not. It was so much faster when I turned them off. So much faster.
And we'll now use this opportunity to bring on our first past guest on Polycast, which I guess makes this person a present guest on Polycast too, seeing as how he's actually going to be on the show once again.
Wait, why can't I talk?
I already said you have had your fill, and don't worry, there will be opportunity for you to talk as
just
well.
Just work your way in like usual, Mateen.
But why do I want my fill? Why can't I have my Mackie?
Fine. Imagine you get a one-word summary. Can you do it? Well, your one-word summary of Beyond Earth. Go.
War garble.
Okay, then.
Was that a good summary or a bad summary?
Well, no.
He hasn't actually used his word yet.
Needs work.
I said one word unless you put... Are you like cheating and putting a hyphen between needs and work so then you can say it is one word?
Yes.
Very tricky, Imagine. Very tricky.
You do get the impression that it's not particularly balanced at the moment, for sure.
It needs polish.
But I would say it's not as bad as Civ 5. That's my initial impression. In terms of vanilla release state, I mean, it's bad, but in terms of balance, but it's not that bad.
It doesn't break.
Doc Cole, Daniel Cole, welcome back on to Polycast, and remember to unmute.
Yes. But wait, I'm spinning around in my chair now, so, you know.
Oh, good. You are the rotating guest.
Yeah. Literal rotating.
Man, you need a wireless headset for that. I'm just saying, like, if you're not and you're wearing your headset and you're spinning, it tends to end poorly eventually.
Yeah, it just did, actually. So that's entertaining. So, yeah, I have played very, 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 very little. But I can say that I'm a little upset about getting my box copy and paying extra to get a box copy. And because I was expecting to get, you know, an actual poster of the tech web and an actual printed manual rather than just the manual you get on Steam. And I didn't get either of those things. So don't buy a box copy and think you're going to get anything worth extra for getting it. You're not. I think I got a little poster that, I mean, even I wouldn't put on my wall, and I have weird things on my wall.
I do think you did get something extra, though, Danny. You got an accent piece for your living accommodations.
Yeah, that's the little poster, and it's not something that I would put on my wall. And I have anime things on my wall, so...
Well, I was actually referring to the box.
Oh, the box itself. Yeah, okay.
You see, everything else is just gravy.
Yeah, I suppose. It's a nice box. I mean, you know, it has a picture of the guy looking out the window onto the, I'm guessing, the gate.
Now, the Star of Hope in the chat is saying that his box copy was cheaper than the digital copy. I have no idea why. Maybe it just sounds like it's kind of one of those things where you just have to shop around. The thing is, you got yourself a boxed copy, but it did arrive on release date then.
Yes, I paid extra to get it to arrive on release date. I did 24-hour shipping, so that was where about a third of my price point came from. So yeah, I paid extra than the rest of y'all who got it on Steam and got dick for it. Oh well.
I don't have a box or a fancy poster, but I got to play it at 11 o'clock. Well, actually more like 11:30 because it had to unpack itself, but you know.
Yeah, I did get I got the same pre-order things as the maps as everybody else did, but you could have gotten that on Steam too, so.
You know what? There's another advantage to the digital copy. It unboxes yourself, whereas if you have the box copy, you have to unbox it yourself. I mean, it's manual unboxing.
Yeah, but it takes 30 minutes to unbox itself.
I don't know. It took me about that long to open the damn box, too. I mean, it was incredible. They had like three different contracts of adhesion, lawyer term for the win, that I had to go through to open the box.
They really didn't want you playing yet, did they?
No, you get the box. You get to look at the box. That's why people who buy digital copies get to play the game.
Yeah.
You bought a box.
Yes, I didn't buy what was in the box. I bought the box. Yeah.
Box.
Space box.
Just a couple more targeted questions here for you, Daniel, before we bring in our next rotating guest co-host. So you say you've played very, very little of it. What faction did you decide to start off as, and why? And then what victory condition are you hoping for, and why?
Oh, well, I'm starting off as the French, because I like science, and then I get the science bonus. And I doubled down on it, which might not have been the best thing. I chose scientists for my population. I forget what the correct term for that is. Which is one of the great things about this. When you start, you create your own faction basically completely, which is an awesome way to do things. And I'm hoping to go for Transcendence, because I'm an Alpha Centauri nut. So we'll see. I suspect I will die from the way this game is going. Hint, the aliens are not barbarians. They told me that before, but, you know, hey.
I think Mackie was halfway through a virtual high five with you because of the Alpha Centauri reference, and then you talked about dying, and she kind of just stopped.
Well, I was high-fiving for Transcendence as your first win.
Got to go with the Transcendence. The spiritual... I always played Gaians in Alpha Centauri if I wasn't playing Zarakov, so I'm also a science nut. I was a little upset with the PC Gamer review as well. He died the first time, and he didn't actually read the manual before he played, which made me want to bang my head against the wall. I mean, this isn't a Paradox game, and I'm sure me and team can tell us how much more complicated the Paradox games are, and they are.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to read the manual for that anyway.
I would not want to play a Civ game without reading the manual. I mean, I remember Civ 5, and I went through the tutorials for Civ 5 and then just, like, laughed because it didn't tell you half of the things you needed to know. But yeah, so he reviewed
it. You just play and get beat down a few times. And then
well,
you know.
But if you're reviewing the game, I mean, I would have loved to see how many hours he had into it. It looked like he played the game through twice, died once, and then won the next time by killing everybody, domination. And he didn't talk about half of the things that were new about it, and the things that he talked about that were new about it were things that you already knew, especially if you went to PC Gamer, because they had a lot of sponsored posts that talked about the things that he talked about. So
when you say new, are you saying as compared to Civilization 5?
As compared to Civ 5, yeah. He did his whole review basically as, I started this thinking it was Civ 5. They've already told you several times that it's not Civ 5. And then he died because he thought he played it like it was Civ 5, like I did, actually. And no, it's not just a reskin, sorry. Though I have people who have been saying that in other places.
All right. We have acknowledged that air quote view. It shall not be spoken of again on this show.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations, Daniel. You get the one nuclear weapon that you can use in Civilization Revolution. You only get one. We only get one mention of that on this show.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
That.
All right. So, well, you know.
Thanks for getting it out of the way.
But yeah, so that was a little upsetting. But I'm enjoying the game. It is definitely very different. It's not Alpha Centauri. I wish it had a little more narrative focus. Like Alpha Centauri, you had stories for each one of the leaders, and the quest system doesn't really seem to replace that as much as I would like. You don't really have the interludes from Alpha Centauri that kind of move the story along a little bit. Now, I've heard that the contact victory condition, which I haven't done anything with, is more narrative focused, but this is definitely more towards strategy game than Alpha Centauri. It was a little bit farther toward RPG, I think, but or narrative, and I miss that.
Firaxis Games, developer of Civilization Beyond Earth and Alpha Centauri, and publisher at 2K Games here specifically for Beyond Earth, have said that the backstory is more implied than specific, although on the next episode of Polycast, we're going to be looking at a number of additional panels from Firaxicon, which was in late September, and one of the panels was kind of, okay, at Firaxis, this is what we developed as the backstory for the greatest mistake that then helped us make some gameplay decisions, but it's not canon. We have previously established on Polycast that the great mistake was the starting of this show.
Oh, okay.
It's actually already happened and we just didn't even realize it, but now we have a name for it. Two comments from the chat I want to bring to our attention before we get to our next rotating guest. Number one, T Price One says, Manuel, is that the new name for the wiki?
Manuel. You have to Manuel.
Manuel, like Pedro.
Yeah.
And that's a reference to One More Turn over at onemoreturn.net. Thank you, Mackie, for that. Sif Colonel Mustard, to you, Daniel, says, make sure you have your box copy nearby if you keep spinning in your chair with your wired headset. And we're going to bring on the next person. Gonna say hello to Darkest Onion.
Hello, guys.
Whoever did the opening cinematic, my god, I wish you would do cinematics for every game in existence. That was incredible.
I enjoyed it, but I think they could have done a bit more. Civ 4 had a great intro. Civ 5 has a really nice one, and this one had another really nice one, I thought.
I thought it was better than Civ 5's, by far, but that could just be I enjoy space more than I do history. And
well, it's more personal, too.
Yeah, it was. And then I was hoping that they were going to continue the characters from the opening, but no, they didn't. In the actual
game. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would have been nice. So that was kind of the narrative focus. The opening was going to be like, oh, they're sure going to include that, and then they don't.
Yeah.
But that's, I guess, what we have, the forum stories. We can do that ourselves. So.
True.
Darkest Onion, have you had a chance to play any Beyond Earth?
Yeah, I've played about 4 games so far. I've been playing the long game. I'm not trying to win, technically. The problem with me is I tend to play co-op with people, so playing single player feels weird in the new game. And I'm an older gamer, I'm 39, so like eye strain is really important to me. It has to not be in the game, and I started Fungal Biome. And because I'm playing on more than one screen at once, acne miasma is at the top right of my screen in my peripheral vision. The middle is where I'm looking at, so I'll walk into miasma. I lost so many units because I didn't read the small print on the top right of my screen.
Oh, you know what they really, 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 really need to fix is workers working in miasma. There needs to be some sort of wake function when you're low health.
Right, like an alert that goes, by the way, moron, moron.
Not even alert, just wake the unit. There's no reason.
Yeah, I lost a few explorers, I'll agree. But that needs to be done. But also, I read the Civilpedia, I'm that guy. There's a huge text wall on most of the technologies. It's like 15 sentences in a row. I need a paragraph break to process all the terms they're using because they're making stuff up as they go along. And I noticed also that pop-ups on the tech, they're just visually flat. I mean, it's like, oh, exogenetics. Now, that's like genetics with exos in it. So moving on. I didn't even want to read it.
What faction did you start with? And otherwise, what factions have you played as?
Well, I've only played Ark, and I get a lot of hate for this recently. But my thought was I wanted to go Contact Victory, and the espionage system is so different than the previous ones in other Civ titles that I really wanted to dive in head first to spying. So I went with Aristocrats because it's kind of the capitalist faction, sort of. You know, so I wanted to get right into the give me the money right off the bat. And I found out in the game, if you can create a huge amount of wealth, you will win the game. It's the one trick you need. I've actually had people steal, with Ark, steal a bunch of money to fund the war against the guy I'm fighting to overwhelm me with units.
So you're describing an economic victory.
Basically. I mean, has anybody else had that experience? You can just buy your way to a win?
Well, I've certainly had a lot of luck not having to build an army by recruiting defectors.
When you talked about that you were getting a lot of backlash recently for playing as Ark, were you saying before the game was released that that's who you were going to play? Or it's just since the game has been released, you've been getting backlash? We're seeing as how it was only yesterday. I enjoy your characterization of recently. That was...
Well, there's two ways to look at it. Before, I was criticized because people thought I was being like nationalistic pro-American, picking the blank faction, which I understand what they're getting at.
Wait. Why is there something wrong with that?
Oh, there's an argument I'm being ethnocentric by default. The moment I pick Ark first.
And that's bad?
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you're starting with what seems somewhat familiar to you when you're playing a game that's not familiar
right.
to you.
America!
So.
Come on!
Baseline.
America.
Right?
America.
But afterward, it's more like almost philosophical argument. Why are you playing the bad guys? I'm like, have you seen some of the other leaders in their backstory? They're not all sunshine and rainbows save the planet. Some of them are pretty odd.
I don't think any of them.
Why are you playing the bad guys? How subjective can we be? Welcome to the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm not being too harsh on my detractors. I'm just saying that it makes me feel kind of like, should I not tell anybody I play Ark? Is it a guilty secret? Like watching Honey Boo Boo?
The latter one, no, you should not tell anybody that one.
Exactly.
I think it's just more of, you're aware that there's going to be backlash for that reason and that reason alone. And I know it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but it's kind of one of those things where you filter between criticism and constructive criticism.
Right.
And those people, you just ignore them and then I view them as a fire, which is just criticism for criticism's sake. You're just supplying it with oxygen. So either the fire's going to go out, ideally, because you stop engaging, or someone else supplies them with the oxygen, because I'm certain you're not the only one that has been called for playing as Ark being American. Oh, that's just finding something to complain about. And again, welcome to the internet.
Right. To shift out of it a bit, I don't want to get too political. I mean, it's supposed to be a fun thing here. I play a lot of co-op with a friend of mine, so we're on the same team. And we noticed something interesting on affinities. I'll land near Floatstone and go, ah, purity, whatever. And he'll land, like, near nothing like what I land near, and then we'll have an argument at where to go on the tech web for affinities. Because it appears some of the stuff we do, like, when you both do the affinity tech, you both get that affinity points, right? but we're doing quests and it's separated. My quests don't always equal up him having done them, so we end up with all three affinities in a big clump. So I'm not sure if they thought about that in testing. What do you guys think? It's almost schizophrenic technology when you're playing co-op.
Like actual team play?
Most people don't do it because, honestly, you butt heads immediately.
Yeah, well, the same thing for Civ 5, so...
That has been an issue for every Civ game where it's existed,
yeah,
to some degree. Yeah. Like, even back in Civ 4, I remember, like, this is quite a few years ago now, person needs animal husbandry, and the other person needs fishing, and you're really going to hose your tech if you, or your progress, if you don't get your food resource, and then researching each individually winds up being slower than if you're single, and it alters your timing. Like, you're just screwed no matter what. Someone's getting screwed, or both of you are getting screwed slightly less, but you're getting screwed. And that kind of stuff was common.
Well, I think it's worse, because now that affinity basically is your tie-in for the bigger units, right?
Yeah.
If you need those units if you're going domination, which I tried the other day, and if I can't get my affinity units and I have to be nice and give you the, we're going to go over and do the other affinity, I got to be the nice guy going, how's that war over there going? You know, that's what I'm concerned about in co-op play, but it's a very small thing, and a lot of people don't play co-op same team.
So yeah, I think you'd want to, like, double up on your affinity. In that
case. But that
even if it's not optimal, just because it's less, you can actually do more.
Well, unless you both get a good drop, you almost can't get the same resources in City 1. So it's going to be one of the, I hope City 2 or City 3, we can work something out as far as affinities.
Or just share resources if need be.
Well, yeah, I did a lot of that. I'm big on here's the stuff you need. The AI, and I know a lot of people before the game were really upset about this. The main complaint that I saw on all the forums I go on, I hate to say this, but I think the AI is not as good as the one in Civ 5. I played on Apollo from day one, hour one, and I did not feel challenged. At one point, the Slavic Federation sent a series of four workers into my territory to defeat me. I figured maybe the game was being clever, so I stayed back and just shot some workers in case there's an army hiding behind them. No, he just did it four times and then declared peace. I'm like, what is going on? How's the calculation?
Yeah, I hadn't played Civ 5 in so long, so I played two difficulties down from Apollo, whatever that one is.
I can't.
Whatever the game says is hard. Yeah, the AI declares on me, and I had to fight like three or four units over the space of 15 turns. I don't know. Oh. There's definitely some polish there needed, as Majin said.
Well, I had a laugh because I was dropped in the middle of four factions in my first game. My second city's like, you have forward settled everyone. I'm like, I'm sorry? I got like a four-person war deck. I'm like, I'll do this. And then I lived. I was like, I was ready to go down fighting, but the AI didn't push it hard enough.
Remember, though, I even play more than a lot of people, but most of you all play way more Civ 5 and harder strategy games than I do, so it's not like we are the normal, the average is a better word, person who plays these kind of games. I mean, we are more skilled at this kind of stuff. Now,
relative to the other titles, this feels easier right now.
And I
think that's a fair assessment.
Honestly, Apollo feels like Emperor. If you can play on Emperor and you're fine and comfortable there, Apollo is where you should be playing. And
I read that on the forum. I didn't believe it, but
I didn't either. But I did try the contact victory. That's the last thing I wanted to talk about. It is so complicated, in my opinion, compared to some of the other things you've got to do. In particular, there's an invisible tile concern I discovered. There's a place where you eventually have to put, let's call it a beacon. I don't know if that's actually what it is, but I tried to build a road somewhere in my empire, and it's like, by the way, if you build a road here, you're going to fail the quest. I open up the quest, which is not marked as a quest for that particular victory condition. It's like it wants you to figure that out yourself with an invisible wall, and I've never seen that in the Civ game.
No, that's just a bug. Ignore it.
Yeah. It's something small, but I was like, wait, what? Did I just forget?
No, that's just the quest itself being slightly bugged. There's nothing that you need to build in a specific location or anything like that. That particular quest, it doesn't have the information in it to say, go research Transcendental Equation like it should. Similar to how the Spy Agency quest says, hey, you know what? You should go to computers so you can build a spy agency.
Well, it reminds me, don't conquer the city. You're supposed to go in and do a dossier thing on a quest.
Yeah.
That was dumb. But also I've noticed that with the war deck AI, if you get a truce with somebody, I gave Vadim Kozlov back a city, and then the next turn he violated the truce, declared war on me again.
Yep.
That wasn't in the manual.
Alliances.
Well, it wasn't even allies. No, I know. I checked in that. I checked this time. I broke my alliance with Polystralia to see if it was just that. The ally declared war on him. But he actually popped up on his own going, war, the second turn of our truce. Which wouldn't have been a problem, but he took his capital back because he had a huge navy, because I crippled him, and he just had a navy left. And then he took his capital back because he was able to break the truce. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's probably something else in there, because they can't break truces.
In the chat, T-Price1 is asking, so the AI isn't cheating enough on Apollo currently? Question mark. Ah, yes. Boy, this harks back to some discussions we've had on Polycast recently, and well as not so recently, about making the AI purposeful. I hesitate to use the word competent, but purposeful and having some kind of direction and being able to react accordingly and be proactive. I have to say, Civ Colonel Mustard, when you say, here comes the Honey Boo Boo mod, that's a socially irresponsible statement, and I'm going to call you out on it, and so I'm doing that right now.
Anything with Honey Boo Boo in it is immediately socially irresponsible.
And that is one sponsorship I'm not concerned about Polycast not getting.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to bring on who, by being a guest on this episode, he is now going to tie for the most frequent guest co-host on this show with 8 appearances. He was last on episode 200, and before that, back in February, episode 193. He's also a regular Turncast player. Yes, it is Alpha Shard Scott. Hello.
Woo. Hey, Dan. Hi, guys. Hi, Majin. And Dark Onion and Dan. The other Dan.
I enjoy your characterization as Majin as not being a guy. So
I didn't get mentioned. What? Jeez.
Yeah.
Phil, you were acknowledged as a guy. So, you know, be happy and roll with that. So, Scott, you've had a chance to play some Beyond Earth.
Wait, you mean that someone acknowledged me as a human being?
Nope.
Right?
Yeah, nope. No. Yeah, that will not happen.
I think you made a mistake.
Yeah, right.
Then.
You're right. Phil's a troll. I'm sorry. Hi, guys, and troll. There we go.
Yeah, okay. That's better.
That's better. Yeah.
Quite frankly, just because you're acknowledged as a he doesn't mean that you've been acknowledged as a human, Phil.
Well, that's true.
That's true. Trolls can be men.
Trolls can be men. Yeah.
So, Scott, Beyond Earth, play. Yes.
Yeah. My initial impressions was that it really felt like a new game, like stepping into something that I've never really played before. Even though it has the same engine as Civ 5, it's still a new game. And I likened it to how Icewind Dale is to Baldur's Gate, that Beyond Earth is to Civ 5. It's the same engine, but different game. Yeah, there are things that are similar. You know, you have culture in there and energy is money. But there's a lot of things that still function differently, like the trade routes function differently, and the tech web is really different and really feels kind of daunting because it's like, I'm not sure what path I should be going. It's like, I want to do Harmony, and that's my chosen affinity, and I chose the Iberian French because science funding! And and so I was looking at the tech web, and I thought it was just one tech per point on the web, and I didn't realize there was like 3 techs at each point. So it's like, do all the text at that point, or do I just like swim around the web until I can get the numbers to be smaller? It's like really daunting effort. So you like on marathon speed, D6 turns just to do the top tech and then 90 and 200 for the third. And it's like, wow, this is ridiculous. So I went to quick speed after that. It's like, it's just too damn long.
I was about to say, that's what you get for playing on marathon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really love the variety of aliens. There's like 8 of them. I looked in the PDF just to look at them all, and I got a raptor bug buddy before I even got my first tech. I sent an explorer up, and there were some bones to make an expedition of, and I guess we cloned some Tamalian bug, and it was awesome because he could go in the maze mode, and I didn't have to worry about him getting damaged. I could just send him out and explore and collect the resource pods. It was really cool.
Was he also one of those aliens that allowed you to move more hexes in a turn than even an explorer would? Ah, yeah. Yeah, that too is just, let's light up the map.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just all, he's just going, he's gone. He's, you know, he's on the other side of the planet now.
Yeah, I love the drone. The drone is great, especially if you don't have planetary survey yet. Then you can just have the drone go check out all the coastline.
Yeah, I got one from the Lucky Huts. It was really useful.
Lucky Huts. I missed that term.
You see, kids, there was this game. And we called it. No, I was kidding.
I agree with Majin that I'd like to keep the big mistake kind of vague and up to interpretation, that you can just imagine it being something else. Because it almost feels like somebody's going to be called out. Because I don't really want to get into the whole politicast thing. Like I said, who are the bad guys? There shouldn't be any bad guys. That's the whole point. Don't want it to be like, it's this corporation's fault or it's this country's fault or blah, blah, blah.
No,
just, you know, just
you
keep
don't
it vague.
I liked the talk they had about their scenario thing. It was interesting, at least.
The bad guy is whoever you are not playing as. That's how it actually works.
Very well said. Yes. Very well said.
And I also liked how it seemed pretty consistent that every time I would build a building, I would get a quest pertaining to that specific building and then picking which way I wanted it to go, one to the fence and...
Oh, reversing the polarity. Yes, please. Kay, thanks. Awesome. Now, not to get all politicasty again, but I'm going to kind of... This characterization of who is bad, you know, the person that you're not playing, Phil, that assumes that the player doesn't want to be the bad player. What if they want to be the forces of evil going after the forces of good, which are the players that they are not?
Well, that's how I play all the time, but then good is bad. You don't want good in the world.
You mean it's so bad it's good?
Yeah, basically.
No, everyone is the hero of their own story, so even the Sith are good to the Sith.
Well, hey,
if I'm an evil overlord, I'm trying to bring my way of things to everyone else because it is the right and proper way.
Exactly. You're good.
Yeah.
But now there are also questions of, if you are the hero, do you hate all other heroes, or do you actually not want to be the hero and therefore hate heroes?
Other heroes? What?
Yeah.
What?
There are all these important questions that need to be answered.
Imposters
there are no other
die.
Heroes. What are
yeah,
you talking
there
about?
There are no other heroes. They're wrong and misguided, obviously. If you're the hero, you are the only one. There can be only one. This is Highlander as well.
There's not even any other potential heroes. I don't know what they're talking about.
Because we've killed them all when they were children. So maybe,
yeah, it's like, I found this planet first, and now all these other guys are coming to my planet. Can't they go find their own planet?
And the aliens are like, about finding the planet first.
Get off my lawn! Like,
then there's the precursors who, you know, I haven't played enough to figure out what their relationship to the aliens is, but I suspect they created the aliens, so they found the planet first. But then they left, so...
They were called the Phyrexians, actually. So, they created the aliens. We know this.
Very good.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I don't mind that stuff is called Phyrexian, or Phraxis, or whatever it is.
Phyrexite, yes.
Phyrexite. Because it's like, that kind of goes along with the theme of corporations, and that's the kind of thing that they would do.
And that's literally what would happen if we came to a new planet, and we found new minerals and things. We would just name them whatever the hell we felt like.
Yep.
Like, I mean, floats.
We named some actual elements after the people who discovered them, after places in the world. I mean, we have California.
Oh, yeah,
that's a real Einsteinium. I mean, so yeah, yep. No, we would that is what we would do, certainly.
Well, we could ask if we could get actual answers from those objects and those creatures what they would prefer to be called. Well, then we we may actually ignore that even if we knew the answer. I guess I should be careful then.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, Siege Worm. What would you like to be called?
Splat.
All right, next.
Exactly.
No. If that was their response, then you just call them splatters now.
Splatters.
Well, okay.
They've given you their answer, right? So there you go.
Sir Splat.
And we're now going to bring on our fourth rotating guest co-host, and the other three are still on the call. They are still spinning and rotating, and I'm not going to go any farther with that.
Well, might not want
just, can't
know.
You just say waiting in the wings? Good Lord.
I could, Scott, but that's just...
It's not as funny.
That's not how I roll.
Thanks to Dan.
I don't know why I said it quite that way, other than, you know, I'm me. A first-time guest earlier this year, he was on episode 198 in May. That is Ixias. Welcome to Polycast episode 213 as we celebrate the release of Civilization Beyond Earth.
And by the way, you have about 3 seconds because we're about to go off air.
No. You're so mean.
Really? Already? I'm already
don't do
getting
that
this.
To him. He's already confused enough as it is.
But
he hung me the other night. All I was doing was whining about not knowing where I was going.
Guys, I don't know what I'm doing. That was him Friday.
So I pick this
well,
in the
be
tech
me today.
Web, right?
No, it's okay, Ixias. Imagine exaggerated. It's more like 5 seconds. Yeah. No.
Hey.
All right, thank you for joining us on FSO.
So, Ixias, you've had a chance to play some... Beyond Earth, and by that I mean Civilization Beyond Earth. I don't know. Is there another Beyond Earth out there? I don't know. I'll be specific. You had a chance to play the game, right, that we're talking about?
I guess you could call it that.
You could call it a game, or you could say we're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I'm not doing so hot. That was what I was referencing.
So you're playing it cold?
Actually, I don't think I'm losing, so that's pretty funny
yeah.
to them. Well, a certain person on this call decided that it would be funny to have me start at Apollo.
Imagine it's such a troll.
He was like, no, it'll be fine. Go for it. Yeah, it'll be fine. And then I was like, so, I'm going to research this technology. And he was like, no, why? No, why? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't watch.
Everything he did, whether it was right or wrong, he kept getting trolled about. No, don't do that.
So I guess what we're getting at here, Exeus, is that you thought that you were winning or weren't losing, or is it just that ignorance is bliss?
No, I'm pretty sure that I'm doing okay. I've been looking at my science and my energy, and I think I'm actually doing better than most people, which is kind of funny. I have found out that I really don't like Brazil.
Is he the new Elizabeth?
He is. He is. For those who don't know, I hate Elizabeth. She's always mean to me. So I found this game's Elizabeth. He has tried to settle this little outpost. This is his fifth time doing it. It doesn't last.
So, who have you been playing as then? You know who you're playing against, where that's quite evident.
I am the pack. I picked stuff at the beginning.
And things?
Spam trade routes. Trade routes are good.
Oh, yeah. I hate
them. You've run them being nerfed.
I have all of my trade route spots.
I was going to say, where in Civ 5, I wouldn't have bothered with internal trade routes. In this internal trade routes, oh my gosh.
I have so many going to my capital. My capital is such a beautiful city.
And the other way around, when you first got, even just as an outpost, you can send it to a trade to them to get them to grow faster. And then afterwards, you make the new city grow even faster. So it's like,
yeah, it's crazy. I settled the city, and now it is like a thriving city, and it was my most recent city. It does not take much to get a city up and running, which I think once it's up and running, it kind of plateaus at what you're getting. So like it then becomes self-sufficient and you can do whatever you need to. I think that was my biggest gripe in Civ was the fact that I'd be, oh, there's a great city spot over here. And then I'd settle a settler, and it took forever for the city to be able to do anything.
So what victory condition are you hoping for, or were you hoping for?
Well, you know, whatever one happens. I'm going Harmony, so I was probably going more along the Harmony. What is it? I don't even know what it's called. The thing where you...
Transcendence.
Transcendence.
That one. Yeah. On my way there, so that's good.
Based on how you initially responded to the question, I thought, oh gosh, are you talking about time?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the time victory. That's what everybody does, right? I'm really liking the game so far.
The Mind Flower, I heard that when you activate it, all the aliens are aggroed on you. I haven't gotten that far myself, but it just seems a little counterintuitive to what should be happening. I would think that the Mind Flower would be making the aliens your allies or under your control, and that you would be able to use them, basically, that you'd be one with them. I thought that was the whole point.
You're not trying to be one with those aliens. You're trying to be one with the planet. And these aliens would prefer you not to do that. They're the chosen ones.
It's like an Alpha Centauri, except there wasn't two separate things. It's like, there's the planet, and then there's the aliens. It's two separate factions. Mm. You're trying to hug the planet now, and the aliens are like, hey.
That's ours.
So it's not like Alpha Centauri, where the mind worms are controlled by the planets? Wow. Damn. I just got spoiled. Oh, well.
Wow.
That's different. That's pretty cool.
It's not Alpha Centauri.
Oh, no, it's not. Unfortunately.
But it's still awesome. I'm biased.
I am.
It's definitely been a fun game so far. I've only played it a little bit, like with Dan, you know, cause sometimes real life gets in the way. But it's been fun so far, and I think it is definitely its own game.
It's Chewy. No. to say hello to another past guest on Polycast, and it is a Fuzzy Fractal 42. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
I didn't know Fuzzy was going to be here.
Fuzzy was Chewy either.
I can't really do the Chewbacca thing. So.
Well, no, I just figured Dan was chewing on you.
What?
No.
Dan does use that a lot.
Absolutely not. It was rumored to be the other way around, and that's also not true. No, I don't know where the Chewy thing actually came from, but I just remember.
Specific denial.
Yep. I think it just is Fuzzy, and Chewbacca is Fuzzy, so therefore I'm Chewbacca.
Therefore I'm Chewbacca.
It's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
And your affectation on hello was not quite right, but I'm going to allow it.
Well, I can't repeat myself too much.
Fuzzy, other than episode 200, you've only been on the show once before, on episode 168 last March. So I think you're far, far and away from saying the same things too much, unlike all of the regular co-hosts on this show, especially myself. I said especially myself, Mackie.
Still, what you try to say?
Where's the eyebrow sound effect? I can't quite understand what you're getting at.
Uh-oh.
He's throwing things now.
So you've had a chance to play some Beyond Earth then.
Indeed I have. I played as the pack, and I was trying to do... I was sort of trying to play with my gut and not read things too much or try to really study the game. Well, you were playing on Apollo. I started out on Gemini, I think, because, I don't know, when I see the word normal, I'm like, okay, well, that sounds like me. And
okay, and so everybody below and above you is abnormal. Okay, understood. All the, okay, continue.
Yeah, it means that everybody below and above him is
well,
awesome.
That's, he meant normal for him, Dan.
I think to myself, well, this is how the developers are expecting the majority of people are going to play it on that difficulty level. Or they're designing the normal difficulty level with the majority of people in mind. So that feels like the right place to start for me. But it went okay, but not very well. I didn't win because I didn't really know how to win until it was a little bit too late.
If the enemies don't have any cities at all, then you win.
Yeah.
Well, other than I was the going obvious for, one.
That is
I was going for a harmony victory. I was trying to be harmonious with both the aliens and the other players. I was trying to do almost sort of a culture victory type.
Chase two rabbits.
You'll get... nice one.
You get dinner for 2 days.
Oh, man, if I knew you were going to start invoking a culture-like victory on this show, I wouldn't have invited you on. No kidding. Continue.
Well, I figured that that would give me the most opportunity to see as far into the game, see all the buildings and texts and quests and all the different stuff, which I'd say on that level was a pretty successful game. I managed to unlock almost every tech in the game before ultimately losing. So
sure
I think I did it wrong. Not every tech, 42. But I'd say I had most of them.
Did you do the leaf techs?
Yeah, I was doing the leaf techs.
Okay. I wonder the highest difficulty it's possible to literally get every single tech in the game.
If you go mass domination.
Oh, yeah, if you just kill everyone, I guess you could do it on any difficulty level.
Well, no. Well,
leave them with one city that you just keep kicking.
Oh, yeah. You just mass domination because then you can get your beakers per turn up to like a couple grand.
Yeah.
That's not the
point
of the book to find your own path and not necessarily have to get all the techs.
Oh, that's
well,
the
yeah,
thing.
But it's just,
you don't
like,
have to, but there is an achievement.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, if you like have one city that's just camped out and has no improvements of the enemy and then you own every other city on the map, I'm sure that you will eventually get all the technologies. If you don't achieve any other victory conditions.
Yeah. I've done that in Civ 1 and Civ 2, where I left one AI city left, and I just did what I wanted for, like, you know, 100 years or something while they're just sitting there waiting to die.
One thing that I really liked that I really thought I would hate is the affinity upgrading of the units. I mean, getting to choose which way you're going to upgrade the unit, if you're going to get like a plus 10% strength when you're next to an adjacent unit, or if you're going to say plus one movement or something like that. I really kind of thought I'd hate that you have to upgrade every unit in a class a certain way, but it actually makes that choice that much more meaningful when you can't have like your medic unit and your rough terrain unit like you did in Civ 5. You have to do them all the same way.
I actually think that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the tech web and everything. It's extremely overwhelming, but I love it. But I really like the fact that your units get customized the way that you want them and the way that you need them. If you're going more for a defensive playstyle, you can pick the more defensive bonuses. Or if you're going to go more offensive, you know, there's a lot of kill things that you can pick.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they changes the way the units look, too, as you go through the affinities.
Yeah, I've mostly seen the way the Harmony units look so far, but they're pretty awesome looking. And the sound that they make reminds me a little bit of Zerg, which is appropriate.
A little bit, yeah. I think so, too.
And they have this squishy noise. I don't know how to describe it better.
Yeah, you don't strike me as
noise.
A Zerg player, Mackie.
Slimy kind of noise.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be like Zerg, at least a little bit. And I really didn't like that it wasn't as much like the Alpha Centauri unit maker is for me. I was a little unimpressed with the amount of customization. It wasn't like an Alpha Centauri where you can put a defensive 3 in a weapon, you know, of 8 on something. Or more mobile settlers or settlers on wheels, these kind of things. It wasn't as open, but...
I did like that system in Alpha Centauri because it allowed for so much experimentation, but I was a younger person back then and it was a little bit overwhelming strategically to make good choices with that many options.
Oh, yeah, no, you could kill yourself completely.
You could make choices that were totally ridiculous.
Totally overpowered, ridiculous tank unit that takes 27 turns to build, and by the time I build it, I'm already dead.
Yeah, but I like that. And I think that's if you're going to have all those options, I mean, it makes balance really, really hard, if not impossible, but I would rather have more options and have some that are unbalanced than not have options.
You have options. You just have to pick one and then live with it, which actually is more strategic than, hey, look, I'll just, you know, mix and match and do whatever I want. And then if I don't like it, I can change it.
Yeah, I think I disagree with that, because I think the changing what you have at a particular time depends on what you need at that time. So I would say that's more strategic, but...
Yeah, it's a bit decisions. You made a decision, you have to live with it. There is different ways, and keep in mind, the workshop was fine in Alpha Centauri, but may not work so well in Beyond Earth, because they are two different games, not the same one.
Granted, I'm just saying.
So there are people who miss things from Alpha Centauri, and if you do, well, go play Alpha Centauri.
Good luck to run on them screens these days.
Yeah, imagine. Just, you know.
Well, you know.
Crushing our
stuff
Alpha,
are you learning from me and team here? Or are you, come on.
What learning? Who?
We've picked up a few of each other's techniques, but I think that's you're going a little too far with that suggestion.
Yeah. Well, no, there's been a lot of whining and complaining of it. This is not Alpha Centauri 2. And that just gets annoying after a while. It's not meant to be Alpha Centauri 2. It's meant to be Civ Beyond Earth.
This is true. It's not.
And if you don't like it, well, oh well.
Well, they criticize it on its own merits.
Yeah.
Like, you know, certain tactics are just way too much better than others. That's valid.
Yeah, quite valid. There's lots of problems with it. But the problem is not that it's not Alpha Centauri 2.
Granted, yeah. But saying that I like this choice in Alpha Centauri better than this choice in Beyond Earth, I would say is criticizing it on its own merits, not just saying I wish it was Alpha Centauri 2.
You walk a fine line there, basically.
You do, yeah, no, I am.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's within the system of Alpha Centauri 2 better. Does that mean that they won't, say, do an expansion somewhere along the way and, you know, add a workshop style thing where if you bump up affinities, you can eventually, say, pay a little slightly higher price to make a different type of unit and then name it?
You could pay just to change it.
Yeah, or something along that line.
I can see that. That could work. If you had to pay some kind of penalty to revert back to a previous state in your unit development and pick a different option.
Yeah, something along that line that's plausible. Like if you say get Purity 6 or Purity 5 or 6 or whatever later in the game, but you're going hardcore supremacy and then want to switch your, say, soldier over to the second Purity upgrade and then still have the top level supremacy one. I could see something like that being a DLC or an expansion with some sort of cost for making that change.
Yesterday. We're talking about DLC and expansions.
Exactly. let's
well,
talk about
their
inevitable.
More is always better.
Yes.
Hey, we've seen one DLC already, so you know.
Let's talk about DLC for a comment. Well, I mean, some people have said that they could go like, well, they could do multiple planets. I mean, there was one Civ-like game whose name I don't remember that tried that. And to me, at least, it did not work very well from everything I saw because you just get complication on complication and it just gets way too ridiculous.
It's like three-dimensional chess or something.
Yeah, there was a game that I think it was Emperor of the Fading Suns. It was kind of like Civ with multiple planets and just did not work at all because it was just way too complicated. So, I mean, I don't know if that is the way they should go. I do think it might be interesting if on some of an expansion, like say you're doing the Affinity where you're actually going back to Earth as the robots and you're forcing everybody to become robots, which I would almost say is evil, but when you... That as an expansion, you make it so now you actually have to fight on Earth somehow as the end of that affinity. I'm not even sure that might even make it too complicated. I'm not sure where they can go without
just alter the focus of the game awkwardly.
Well,
it's like you'd either wind up making that last sequence too hard or easy.
Yeah, and or it'd be there, but it's like, well, I sent 10 angels, and guess what? You all have stuff that we had at the beginning of this game, so my 10 angels will wreck you.
Yeah.
Well, because they do it somehow like they did in Colonization, where the ending there was kind of you had to fight, then end up declaring independence and fighting England, and it was
hardcore difficult from what I've been told. Maybe Earth doesn't actually get worse. Maybe they actually expand, but it expanded in a different direction. I don't know.
That's the expansion story.
Yeah.
Spoilers! God!
Well, I figure there's going to be new corporations and maybe even actual alien AI that as opposed to just the barbarians, because there's
not
no space.
Sure they're going to do the alien AI. That would be a little weird for a game called Beyond Earth that's entirely focused on getting humans off Earth.
Right, and then there's going to be alien life out there that's hopefully sentient somewhere.
That's called contact victory.
Well, right, but maybe
so
after...
It's like, do you auto-win the contact victory if aliens show up on the planet trying to... to a purity goal?
Oops. Well, no, you do the contact victory. The aliens are like, what are you doing on our planet? And then come down and try and kill you. You actually have to fight them off.
You know, and they don't think you deserve to contact them. Maybe they feel they're descendants from these that you're trying to contact, and that you're pouring in on what they want to do, and so that you're on one of their planets or whatever, and they want to get rid of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that something like that would pop up. Messes with the lore and mostly about Beyond Earth. I would assume that at least the next expansion, if there is one, depending on how things go, that it would be more about what happened to the people who got left behind.
Do you think there'll be more corporation factions?
I would hope so, because I don't think 8's going to do it.
Yeah, 8 is rather
Yeah.
I don't feel like you're playing the same. Granted, I've only played one. Oh, yes, peace. Sorry, Squirrel. I've only played.
Are you playing the game right now?
Squirrel!
I know Mac is.
Anyway, I like how you almost aren't playing the same factions over and over again because of the different choices that they can make in the game. They can go a different affinity route. They'll research different technologies. I mean, yeah, you are seeing the same people doing their own thing, and sometimes they'll be a little cyborgy, and sometimes they'll be alien-y, but I think there's a little bit of variety, and it's not just like 8 people that you're seeing the whole time. It's 8 iterations of the same thing.
Yeah, it provides enough variety at the moment, but...
It's definitely going to... There's going to need to be more at some point.
Yeah.
And that certainly came up before the game was ever released. It makes me think of a bit of a parallel to one of the panels, rather, we're going to be talking about on the next episode from Firaxicon, which was choosing the civs for Brave New World with Ed Beach and the lead designer. And one of the criteria they had for including new civilizations was that they brought something unique in terms of the play style. And they looked very much, for instance, at Polynesia in Civilization V when it was introduced, and they wanted to include a civilization that would behave quite uniquely. And the prime example of that ultimately ended up being Venice and the process they got to including Venice. So I think when you start looking at gameplay systems, you start looking at first of, okay, what is working well? What is not working well? We may end up with some patches where there's some tweaks to factions. And as a matter of fact, thanks to the live streams, both say official from Firaxis and Mad, Firaxis has acknowledged that, you know, there were some changes to some of the factions and development based on some of the feedback we were receiving. And those were from people who hadn't even had a chance to play the game yet because the game hadn't been released. So when you look beyond that, if there were expansion packs to the game and the introduction of new mechanics and modifications to existing ones, we could see additions for factions. So that way you're not just adding more factions for faction's sake. Don't want one of those situations where, you know, we go back to Civilization 1 or Civilization 2 in the sense of, okay, so the difference between this civilization and that civilization is the name and the leader. And yeah, you know, that's all they wrote. So I think that could very well be a natural progression. And of course, the people are already asking, so when's the first expansion? So when's the first DLC? And it's like, well, there already is DLC, you know, the Day Zero DLC. But when's the expansion? When's the next DLC? And as we've said before on the show, and we'll say again, there are these things called sales. Oh, that will very much determine. So I guess it's one of those kind of things on balance where I like what I see in Beyond Earth enough that I want to play it. and I'm going to pay for it. And then providing feedback to go along with what it is that you would like to see changed, if those numbers are strong enough, you know, if you see value in Beyond Earth now, and you can already see what it could be because of the addition of mechanics that were in past civs that are not in Beyond Earth yet, or something completely new, then hey, there may very well end up being more in the future for Beyond Earth. Although we can't have a comparable discussion to like they had on the panel for Brave New World, which was, we saw in the Civ community that people were saying that Firaxis can't possibly be done with Civilization V because there are no Zulu in the game yet. I don't really think we can say that for Beyond Earth. Beyond Earth is not done yet because this faction is not yet in the game. I don't think it quite works that same way, but I'm certain there will be similar paths to seeing more. Now, what more ends up being, does that mean additional gameplay mechanics, added mechanics, new civilizations, new scenarios?
Technically, we do have a Shaka.
Yeah.
The People's African Union.
That's not Shaka. He's the peaceful one.
Oh my gosh. This Brazil man. Let me tell you.
The Mali. He's the Mali, more
Brazil
like.
Brazil was nice to me.
Yeah. Okay. Brazil's nice to me because he's giving me all of his cities.
I think you're nice because you give me stuff.
He keeps settling, or is that what it's called still? We're just gonna say settling.
Yeah.
Let's just go with settling.
Yes.
Settling. I mean, with something better.
Seriously, he has tried 5 times for this city. It's not gonna work because I'm killing it again. I don't know.
I think there could be additional affinities added to the game.
That would be a bit hard to blend in, because as soon as you add an affinity, you have to add, what, I can't remember how many buildings per affinity there are.
Not to mention the tech web.
Well, that's the thing. The moment you add all those buildings, they have to go into the tech web, and then you have to add all the new techs to go along with.
Do they have room for more leaf techs?
I mean, the tech web can be made bigger. It probably could.
Make it webbier.
Well, I'd like to see more victory conditions. Like, I would like to see causality. Travel back in time and prevent the great mistake. And the whole world just comes down on you when you try to do it.
How do you know that's not what the supremacy victory is? You
or
don't
what
know
the
that
mistake
it...
was. Bum, bum, bum. Maybe your time travel goes wrong and destroys Earth. So we got to stop here.
Maybe that's what makes the big mistake. You screwing around with time.
It's...
That would be awesome.
The great mistake is the whole game.
That would be awesome.
I was just about to say, you win the time travel victory, and the on-screen prompt is like, so because of time travel, the game you actually played didn't exist, so we're now going to deduct those hours from your total, and you didn't actually win anything. It's actually a non-victory because the game didn't actually happen, so bloop,
you lost. Yes.
It deletes the game from your hard drive because it didn't exist, doesn't exist now.
That'd be awesome. Every faction causes the great mistake in a different way.
That would be pretty cool, actually. I do like the idea of a total troll victory like that. It would be, I mean, after the first person does it, it would be done because it would be all over the internet, but it would be hilarious as a, you think you won, but you didn't.
Kind of set it up as the nobody wins kind of attitude.
Or it's the time travel, you go back and you cause the great mistake with one faction and affinity or whatever, and therefore you have to start a new game, but that's part of your lore now, is that those people messed up time, and therefore they're the evil ones and you can't play them.
Jerks.
That would be kind of interesting, but then what happens when you go through each one and everybody, you find out everybody created the great mistake?
Well, that's what multiple universes are for.
Okay.
Or it could be you must complete the time travel victory, because if the time travel victory is what then caused the great mistake, if you didn't time travel, then you didn't actually play the game to begin with, because that's what made the game possible in the first place. Mm-hmm. Temporal mechanics for the win.
But how are you playing it the first time to do the time travel victory if the game didn't exist before somebody did the time travel victory? So
except that's multiple universes. So the universe somebody left to go back is in a different universe. Than the one you're, and then all of a sudden, instead of dinosaurs in the history, we have angels, these big robots roaming around destroying.
I was going to say, he said that earlier, and I thought he was making Evangelion reference.
So we are the ancient aliens?
Maybe.
Scenario?
It might be.
Either this is kind of like a Futurama situation where you might end up being your own grandfather, or this is the way where we get Sid Meier's dinosaurs. Because if you go back in time and then the great mistake happens and then dinosaurs rule the Earth, then the game morphs into, it unlocks into Sid Meier's
dinosaurs.
Yes.
There was a Chrono Trigger ending like that. there's a Chrono Trigger ending like that where you get the lizard people to win.
But I will say, Mackie, your comment earlier about this is now getting crazy, I think you're a little...
Yeah, late. Well, you know, extra crazy with crazy sauce on the side as opposed to just a little crazy.
Just briefly back to your point about there being more affinities there, Andrew, I kind of compare it in a way to, for example, how we added, added more social policies in Civilization V, because in addition to now needing all of these uniques that are already attached to the three existing affinities, there would then need to be modifications to the existing affinities, but the three affinities are intended to be so general so as to cover all possibilities. I don't see how you could add more affinities without diluting the meaning of the affinities that already exist, and you don't want to end up diluting them to the point where there's too much overlap or there's too much confusion, so then you end up having to maybe substantially change the affinities as they are to begin with, and then you end up having to change everything that's already in game. I think I could see maybe an expansion of the existing affinities we already have, but then the question becomes, is more necessarily better?
Is more or more good? Saw somewhere where somebody started talking about blended victories. So you have harmony, supremacy, mix, or pure harmony victory, or some harmony, purity combinations, so that you can have victories based on making not just purely one affinity, but combinations thereof.
Isn't it already kind of like that? Because for the Emancipation Gate, you need some purity in addition to the harmony.
You don't need harmony.
You don't need harmony for that?
No.
Okay. So that probably explains why I lost.
I was just thinking even more in the abstract term, because when I play Beyond Earth, I end up having a dominant affinity eventually, but it's not like, oh, look at this. All of my affinity choices were in this one. So in a way, if you end up winning a particular victory condition based on an affinity, it's not necessarily that you only ever chose those affinity options. So choosing those other affinities when you did in some way helped you. Or at least didn't hinder you too greatly to prevent you from winning through a dominant affinity.
With the affinities, I mean, for some reason, harmony seems the easiest to pursue, but I can't put my finger on it mathematically as to why.
Most of the harmony stuff is packed together in the tech tree.
You mean tech web?
Sure, why not?
Tech web tree. Let's say it together.
My initial thing was I went for food gouge, and I wound up going purity then, even though I was thinking I'd go supremacy first.
It's not that you have to go purity, but most of the farm boosting.
Well, yeah, but that's where you get pulled, because I went for food. I went for food trade routes, and like I picked a food bonus. I just spammed food just to see. And yeah, that will take you down purity for sure.
Yeah.
I felt food and harmony went together. That was my take on things.
There's a mix. Like the grow labs are harmony building, but farms are more aligned with purity. The, nano pasture or something along that line, it's right at the same tech as the Emancipation Gate, gives you plus 30% food carryover, and then there's another 10% food carryover from a purity related tech under right underneath terraforming, which is purity. But on the opposite side to that, you have all this harmony based plus food building going on.
Okay.
But they're different. Like the harmony ones tend to boost resources specifically. So like the grow lab gives you bonuses to fungus. So if you have fungus and you have that building, you can.
If you have fungus, see a doctor.
Yeah.
There's an improvement that gives you, just gives you health too.
There's lots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biowells.
One of them's pretty early for purity though.
Well, biowells give you 2 food and 1 health, but cost you 2 energy. And if you do not go farms, then you want to biowell spam for food, because it's better than the farm.
You
go for the techs. And the biowell also has the plus 1 culture boost. And actually, if you're going harmony, then biowells are even nicer, because it's at the same tech that you get plus 1 culture from Xenomass.
Yeah, just going back to the comparison to Civ 5 and the affinities and the social policies, when we talk about Civilization 5 and social policies, we're like, oh, you're looking for some food focus? Have you tried some tradition?
Yeah.
Whereas in Beyond Earth, the affinity, it's, I never looked at as purity or harmony as the particular food focus as compared to something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different path to getting to that particular focus and when you're going to end up prioritizing it. So it's less of a sacrifice and more of, again, just a different ends to the same means, which ties back to each of the affinities being a bit more general in terms of those focus, whether it's food or science or production, whatever victory condition you're going towards, you can tailor that affinity a little bit more to that particular focus in the early and mid to late game, what it is that you need to focus on and really concentrate on, as compared to in Civilization V, which it's, okay, if I want that particular food boost, then yes, I need to go to tradition, as compared to looking at the tradition equivalent in Beyond Earth as being purity, harmony, or supremacy.
Mm-hmm. It also depends on like what you look at, because harmony, looking at the buildings, some of the later ones got, you know, a little bit of production, a little bit of food, like two different food buildings, and a little bit of health and culture. But if you go into supremacy, there's culture and science and culture and little health, and then, you know, the augmentary, which is just one of each just for giggles, and then a little bit of production and more science, and then you get purity, which is some health, a little energy, mostly production and stuff like that. So I mean, harmony is the only one with actual food based buildings out of all three of them, but even then it's not like a lot. But it's not like you can't go supremacy and then take like four levels of harmony and go pick up a girl lab. You can't get blocked from those.
Yeah, because I've got high harmony right now with a little bit of supremacy, and I like having my units are different from somebody who went pure harmony.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I mean, it's where the terrain improvements happen to be in the tech web. And that's why people are like, oh, well, purity goes farms. But it's just that you get the purity points towards the affinity at the same tech that, say, farms get upgraded.
Yeah.
You can still get those points because going for multiple affinities, especially, you know, up to level 3 or 4, depending, can be very useful on the offside because you can build those buildings like the feed site hub. You want science for trade routes? Get level 2 in supremacy. It's not like it's going to hurt you to get extra science from trade routes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that'll get you to the ones you do need for whatever affinity you're choosing faster.
And level 2 of purity, 2 extra health in the early game. That's nice. Also comes with science.
I have to disagree a little bit with you that we've gone well on all the possible affinities. I mean, they're general, yes, but I don't think there's a limit on what the future of humanity can be. I mean, we have becoming one kind of spiritually with the planet. We have staying the way we are, and we have putting ourselves in machines.
Right. Well,
there's certainly other options then.
Well, the harmony one's not necessarily one with the planet. It's more the genetically modified. So we have genetically modified humans versus being able to get the plug pulled on you.
Right. Well, I see the possibility for a turning into energy beings dispersing amongst the universe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Type, for example. Ascendancy.
Isn't that kind of like supremacy? Because you're leaving your body but going into a different body?
Well, that's weird because I was looking at supremacy the way they put it actually in the game now. And it feels a lot more like working with artificially intelligent robots than becoming them based on the narrative that I'm seeing in the game. It's kind of weird, really.
I think there's a difference between machines and energy beings as well.
I would agree with that. I thought harmony was more kind of becoming one with the energy beings. Now, I haven't finished it yet, but at least in AC, that was what I thought it was like.
I can see your point there, but for me, the fact you're building an Ansible, basically, to talk to the planet, and it's all, like, external to you, connecting you to planet, unlike in AC, where it's like, we are all now planet, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, no.
Step between.
Okay, I thought it became closer to We Are All Planet toward the end. I mean, in AC, you had, you know, you shot the internet into the planet. And I always wondered after that why the planet just didn't kill you after you shot the internet into it. But
yeah, I like that, actually. All the pictures of kitties must have annoyed planet.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, honey,
give the cat a cheeseburger!
I mean, that's the thing. I can see both harmony and supremacy both aiming towards the whole shedding of the skin thing, but harmony's using it by modifying genetics and supremacy's doing it by uploading consciousness to machines.
Well, yeah,
which eventually, once you can upload into a machine, you can just upload yourself into the interweb and go from there.
If I wanted to put it under supremacy, I could see another fun way to do it. And you could basically say you upload yourself to a nanite, and every person becomes a nanite flying through space doing whatever they want under supremacy.
Yeah. And meanwhile, purity doesn't not work with artificial intelligence. It just works for them.
Right.
They still use robots, just they don't want to be robots.
Yeah. And I think they said somewhere that they use genetic engineering and things to cure diseases because they're trying to make the perfect human, but you're staying kind of the ideal human.
Yeah.
Well, I've always felt that it's kind of purity is don't forget who we were so we understand who we become.
Yeah, and natural evolution, not speed evolution.
Right.
But I could easily see that you could break it down into, say, 6 subparts of each, and then, you know, do blendings of the pure harmonist might do this versus the supreme harmonist might do that sort of thing. But then you start really shoehorning a lot of stuff, and then you to build up lore for some of it. And I think we can see lore for some of those combinations, but not necessarily all of them. And so you're starting to get really specific on things if you want to extend the affinities. So say adding just one more might not be the best way to go forward. It might have to be 3 more.
Right.
And then the game gets really huge.
Really weighty, really quick. Top heavy, I think they call it in design language.
I think for now the 3 is fine because it kind of covers the general gist of different ways to go.
I wouldn't demand more. I like to think that, like you said, since you can put them in under the umbrella of a different affinity, I'd make my own story quietly for now.
Yeah, true.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
My first encounter in Beyond Earth, the first person landing other than me, they didn't want to open borders, so I just declared war on them right away.
Sorry, you're talking about the bedtime story?
My planet!
A grandma going, I'm going to tell you a bedtime story about the great mistake. No, Grandma. I'd like to sleep.
Yeah. There should be an achievement for that. Like My Planet Now, declaring war on everybody right when they land.
The welcoming committee is out.
Yeah. That was a...
Get off my lawn!
That's good.
That's always that.
We should do that
always
one.
Always a proper welcoming committee.
Exactly.
You could probably press them pretty early. If you are not playing on too hard of a difficulty, you could probably win domination that way really quickly.
Well, like right now, I could actually walk out with my 2 Marines and probably super harass my neighbor really bad. And I'm only on turn 100 and playing slow.
Yeah.
If you get 2 affinity levels, your gunners can handle a lot of city stuff.
Those battle suits were incredible in the game I was playing last night. I got them before the other guy had any affinity units. Just stomped all over him.
You could prevent people from ever colonizing another city, though, for the most part. It wouldn't be that difficult.
No, I was figuring it out anyway, actually.
No. It's much better to go rage about something rather than for something.
I'm pretty good at the rage threads, but I like to pick my battles a little bit more judiciously.
What? Picking battles, though.
He's very specific about how he rages.
Well, the art of trolling, there's certain aspects to it. You can do it wrongly, and then you're less effective.
I thought about saying, speaking of less effective, and then... Then I was going to segue into talking to somebody, but that seemed kind of mean, so I'm not going to do that. That's
funny, though. That would have been very funny, yes, especially since I think I'm next, but...
No, actually, that would be Darkest Onion.
Well, I mean, same kind of question you put, I suppose. I would say it's a good game, but awaiting polish. There's a few little tweaks visually and all that. But as far as, like, advice to a new person to Civ, I guess, this would be a great entry. It has the casual feel of 5, but it has more complex decisions you can make. It's more tailored to you.
Alpha shirt.
Filthy casuals.
Oh, my.
Lots of love casuals.
You misspelled that. It's spelled C-A-S-U-L. It's filthy casuals.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Filthy casseroles?
No, that's something else. This is don't eat that.
This is a good entry into Civ games, so I'm enjoying it, and I expect that they will make enough money to make expansion packs. So, hopefully 1 and 2, but we'll see what happens. But search, use the search function, read the stuff, read your manuals, listen to other perspectives, and you should do fine.
It was a happy popularity note I noticed yesterday. There were 85,000 people on Steam playing it at the same time. It's number 3 on the current active Steam list for players. So
that's
it's going to make money.
Yep.
That's a good start. Mm-hmm. It's a good start.
It's a good start. Both Civ 5 and Civ B are in the top 10 at the same time.
Nice.
Yes, so there are a lot of people enjoying Civilization Beyond Earth, a.k.a. Civilization 6. Just kidding.
Civilization 5.
It was just like the mention of a certain something earlier that we were only going to say once. It has been acknowledged.
I can tell you, I know where you live.
So has anybody seen Civ 5.5 yet anywhere on forums anywhere?
They're still whining that the tech quotes aren't 5% as good as Alpha Centauri.
I see.
So once
once
it stops being hip to compare it to Alpha Centauri, because I know for a fact most of the people who have made the comparisons, they've never played Alpha Centauri.
You can tell from the things they say, to be honest.
I know there's a lot of people who have played Alpha Centauri who are making the comparisons because, well, they have, but...
They're on this talk.
There's actual people out there.
Oh, we're not actual people!
We just ended it right now. There we go.
I'm still good. So I was a troll from the beginning, so it doesn't bother me.
That was awesome. Well done.
You're all figments of my imagination, so there's other people.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what Stranger by Mark Twain. Here we go. All right.
Final comments from Nicole. Daniel.
All right. So I'll come talk about the game first, and then I got one other thing I wanted to say. It's hilarious. So I want a printed tech web, damn it. And I want more.
Oh, let me help you with that. Open PDF. Turn on printer.
Yeah. It's not like this nice and special. And, you know, my printer is not nearly as good as what they could do. I want like a
take
big
it to
booster.
A printing place. They'll print it for you.
Yeah, and you can get it on really a big sheet of paper and nice, like laminated shiny. And crap and
yes,
close to your wall.
But I should not have to do that myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
He went to the effort
yes,
of buying
wine,
a box
wine,
of
wine, and yes, I want
American.
Some cheese, too.
Oh, I'll give you cheese.
I'm sure you will.
I was just going to be like, why your printer fail?
Don't you have multiple screens that you can just paste it on?
No, I have one screen.
I could use a second screen, too. I can watch my stream while playing and answer questions.
Are you sure you really only have one screen? Do you have a TV? Are you using it?
I don't have a TV hooked up to my computer, no.
Oh, there's no way I could practically implement that in my room.
Yeah, I don't think it would work in my room.
Speaking of the multiple screens, I didn't realize I had it set up that way. So when BE launched, it jumped onto all three of my monitors. It's kind of overwhelming.
Especially with that opening. That would be pretty overwhelming. Yeah.
Didn't someone have like 10 screens for their Civ game or something somewhere? Ridiculously big.
Three is silly enough for me.
Yeah.
But, okay, I would pay for an expansion pack with more videos, more nice, you know, Wonder videos. Yes, Wonder movies, Affinity movies, good ending movies. I'm sure, I hope it has some good ending movies. I haven't seen any yet. I want these things.
You did play Civ 5, right?
Yes, they were not very good in Civ 5.
There was no video at the end of the
game. No, there was not, and it was very upsetting. I'm hoping they didn't do that here. I suspect they did.
That's what makes it not very good.
Slightly moving still picture for the win. Yay.
Yeah. No. I like that kind of stuff. The interludes in Alpha Centauri, for example, very nice, added a whole lot to it.
Well, it's memorable.
The Conquest movie was amazing.
Yep.
For the fact when they had advisors, hearing them yell at each other during Anarchy was hilarious for me.
Yeah, agreed. I like that stuff. So I would pay for an expansion pack with just that.
Well,
that would be a DLC, but yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, DLC. I don't know the levels there, but I would pay for that. And then the funny thing, Honey Boo Boo evidently heard that we don't want them to sponsor us because DLC has canceled Honey Boo Boo now, and just so you know, we are responsible for the end of the most terrible show in the world. We now should all go out and party.
I'm not sure if that's so much humorous as it is a relief, but
yeah.
We did something! Polycast has managed to do something. There you go.
Woo!
I don't believe you.
It only took us 8 years.
Yeah.
8 to do something. Final word to Mad. Notice word. No, that's fine. You can say multiple words if you.
What?
All right, that's good. We're done.
Yes, there we go. It's over.
Now to Phil. No, go ahead, Mad.
I don't know.
Hey, Phil. Did you set that up on purpose? That's great. Either way.
Yeah, I will reserve judgment for now, very beyond what I have said already. And I'll just have some fun with the game. We'll go with that.
Have fun.
Yeah, just.
Oh my gosh, a non-troll comment?
Make
I know.
Your own fun with the game until it actually gets patched and polished and cleaned. And...
Yeah, it's just going to be a bunch of level broken for a little while. But that's, whatever.
There's the main team we all know and love.
Maggie.
Came here, you're of the sound of harmoniously conquering things.
You'll be willing to get it!
What is
Maggie,
the sound?
I don't know that we can be allies in this game.
Well, in this particular game, I'm going harmony later. I'm going to try supremacy next, probably, so.
What is the sound of harmoniously conquering somebody? You know, it's like, yes, die! Oh, you know.
We squish you with hugs.
We squish. Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
Daniel, that's another kind of cast.
You're not that kind of squish.
We become one! Okay. We become one with your
death.
Oh,
man, I really just did a facepalm. Like, for real, I did a facepalm.
Oh, that one was intense.
Dan, get us out of here, Dan.
That one was entirely intentional. So, yeah. No,
we've made
good.
The great mistake, is what we're saying.
Exactly.
My final comment, embrace the purity. The final word, or words, for the show, seeing as how it was in the notes, goes to Mackie.
Give me 2 seconds, you'll get a final word out of Elodie, because she's about to die.
Well, then.
I'm not the only person playing while we're talking.
Yeah, well, I can talk and play at the same time. I do this every Saturday night when we play Civ. Normal Civ.
Me too.
How have you come to such a pass?
This is normal.
Because you wouldn't make peace. I would have let you stay on your little island by yourself, but no, you wouldn't make peace. So you get to die then.
After emerging from the global dark age known as the Great Mistake, the human race struggles to survive on Earth. The redeveloped nations focus on finding a new home on a new planet. Now, your leadership is needed to colonize these alien worlds, amass mighty armies, and make contact with new life forms. Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth. This new entry feel familiar to longtime players, while some all-new features may seem a little alien. Your mission begins by selecting a sponsor, assembling a spacecraft, choosing cargo and colonists, and launching into the unknown. Once you make planetfall, carefully evaluate the resources available in your landing area and settle in. It won't be long before other colonies begin to pop up. As an ambassador for the human race, your primary consideration is its well-being. Humanity must adapt to survive. Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth breaks the conventions of linear development, constantly pushing you into an uncertain future with experimental technology. Colonization and development are exciting, but always keep your endgame in sight and be prepared to shift with the climate of the game. You will need to be aware of your own strengths and how your opponents might be trying to win for themselves. It's time to leave behind the civilizations of old and venture forth across the endless void of space to seek out a new way of life for humanity beyond Earth. The future is but one more turn away.
Somebody's...
Daniel. Yeah, we heard that.
Hey, Daniel.
Yo.
Are you in a wind tunnel?
Other than, you know, it has to deal with Mackie, so therefore it is always sequitur.
You are now permanently sequitur, Mackie. I hope you're prepared for this.
What?
That was the sound of Mackie's eyebrows raising. They actually have a sound effect.
Yes,
now.
That is the sound effect.
I'm a socialist, so that's nightmare town to me, but I'm just mentioning it for fairness.
Yeah, I think we want to avoid Politicast.
Moving on.
No,
especially
on.
Live.
Yeah.
No, let's forget about Politicast. Religious cast. No, kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's number 5.
Dude. My goodness.
Woo-hoo! Just had this passing thought of Grow Labs. Andrew, given where you live, you must know something.
Womp, womp, womp. Good Lord, Dan.
Really, Dan?
I'm in the street in the right neighborhood.
Nicely done.
I am looking forward to getting its full of stars later.
A fistful of dollars for unlocking tier 1 virtue synergy bonuses.
You see, kids, there was this.
That should be included in, like, cultural classes in school. Everybody needs to know about those.
Messes with the lower end, just like Daniel needs to move his mic away from his mouth constantly.
We know who Mark Twain is.
Yes, but I'm probably the only one here who's read The Mysterious Stranger by Mark Twain. So
I read it years ago, but I don't remember much about it.
That was the idea, that Mark Twain is a lonely thought in the universe making up other thoughts to keep himself company. So,
that's pretty profound.
He's writing a book about being a solipsist, which is a standard thing. I mean, he may have written a book about it, but people know about being solips. They're all weird.
Reminds me of that t-shirt. Is it solipsistic in here, or is that just me?
Why are you punching yourself? Why are you punching yourself?
And there will be more of that on the next literary cast.
Now that we should do.
I would say we'd go with that. That'd be awesome.
We should have Philosocast.
I was like, oh god.
That would probably be argument cast.
Record date October 25th, 2014. Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.